Economic Development Committee meeting, Tuesday, April 5th, 2016. I got 6:01. We got Alderman Teeling, Alderman Funkhauser, and Alderman Cook present, and staff.
Thank you.
Students' comments. Probably if you got agenda item, we can deal with then. Minutes for correction approval for March 1st, 2016. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Item number two, our new business. EDC 2016-16 building permit reports for February 2016.
In February, we issued 8 build program incentive program permits for single family homes and 7 commercial plans, 17 miscellaneous. Like I said, most things going on right now are at that period of time were residential and some fences, things like that, because we're having a warmer February. Nothing gigantic or huge commercial or remodel stuff, for the most part.
Chris?
Good.
Okay. Move on to item number two, EDC 2016-17 building inspection reports for February 2016.
Okay. In February, we did 103 inspections, which was typical for the time of year, a little slower, but we're picking back up now and all getting very busy again. So this is all mostly all residential stuff, and a lot of it was building incentive programs inspections.
Okay, Chris. Okay, move on to item three, EDC 2016-18 property maintenance report for February 2016.
Okay, in February, we had one case before adjudication, and that was illegal sign at 2645 North Bridge Street. That sign, that was the old sign from when they built where Good Times Liquors at. They built that structure and had a four-leaf sign there, and the liquor store owner had took it upon himself to sheet it with his own logo. So we had been going around and out with them for several months, and finally they got a hold of the property owner, and they went out there and removed the whole sign. So that's been taken care of at this point, and we're continuing to monitor that because the building owner wasn't very happy with us taking down his secondary sign. That wasn't really his sign.
Okay, item number four, EDC 2016-19, economic development report for March 2016.
You should have all received in your packet kind of an outline of what I've been working on the past month. And I kind of divided it into downtown redevelopment, development south of the river, and then north of the river, and then other industrial development. So as you can see, downtown redevelopment, everything's going very well with the Minor Threat Restaurant Group. I actually had a meeting today with Rick Tollefson, and so I know that they're getting ready to pave that lot to the north of the former Barley Fork, to have that open for the opening of the Crusade Burger Bar. They're on target for opening later this month in April, and then Feast coming on in the later on this summer, and then the theater, and then finally the Mongolian space. So that's all work. That's all moving along very well. Also, have had some other interest in some other uses in downtown Yorkville. Actually, Terry's here today too with a school that's kind of in the periphery of the downtown Yorkville. And then south of the river, lots going on over at Stagecoach Crossing, which is south of 71, where the Morse Hospital campus is. So Blake Melker from Midwest Environmental Consulting, he is doing that building that is half-built, and that building will they'll start working on finishing that. He's going to be moving his offices there, and then he'll have some other space available. The other building where West Suburban Bank was located has been purchased, and we're working with other medical type users there to take that building in. So this is going to become more of a destination location. With being south of 71, it's probably a good use because down there there's the north of 71 would be more the more of a retail type feel, but this is going to be more of a destination location. So I think that's worked out very well.
I'm sorry, are you talking about that metal structure?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Yes. Oh, so yeah. They're going to start that this month.
Oh, wow.
So, and then north of the river, Kendall Marketplace, we're continuing to work with Alex Berman on that, and then get prepared for the ICSC, which Bart, the mayor, and I will be attending in May to attract more users over at Kendall Marketplace. Again, Kendall Crossing, continue to work with different users there. Also, it's not on there, but very shortly they'll be breaking ground for the Sherwin-Williams store that is over by 34 and 47. That's the two lots that straddle the Chase at the corner of 34 and 47. The Sherwin-Williams is just about ready to break ground. You probably know about that.
We have a pre-construction meeting tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Yes, because I know it was like and start on track for the next couple of weeks.
So you'll probably get stuff over there.
I sure hope so. Well, it's all kind of be part of that. So, and then industrial development, I continue to work with some industrial users. Oh, south of the river also is that we have identified a grocer that is interested in Yorkville. So we are working diligently to, in fact, communicating with him today. So I'm very excited to see that happen. And then I did the TV show and radio to kind of showcase Yorkville and then also talk about Push for the Path because we're getting ready to have our big 5K and groundbreaking on May 7th. So we're in the midst of that. As a matter of fact, I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update on that. I have commitments for $11,250 in sponsorships. We have eight major sponsors, and five of them are taken at this time. So we're doing really well on the Push for the Path and the sponsors for the T-shirts and the event for May the 7th. And also, I attended the KEDA, which is the Kendall Economic Development Alliance Group. We meet every other month. I have two things that I wanted to provide to everyone today, and I can actually get this in electronic form. I just haven't had the time. A few months back, it was probably back in the fall or end of the summer of last year, CMAP had done a study, kind of a look to 2040 plan for CMAP, which is an agency that handles the Chicago metropolitan planning area. And so they came back with their recommendations from looking at Kendall County. So they have provided us, actually this was just issued last week, so I have a copy of the recommendations of CMAP for you, and also the county does an economic indicator dashboard for the county. They do it quarterly, so the first quarter update of 2016, which is the last quarter of 2015's information, is available. So I bought that for everyone. It's just hot off the press. I will get it to Bart electronically as well, but I did bring some copies of that. Typically, we have been involved also in a job fair in Plano at the Waubonsie Community College location. It took place in June. That job fair, Waubonsie is in charge of that, and that model has kind of gone through, you know, positives and negatives. So this year they're doing something a little bit differently, so I just wanted to mention it to everybody, and you're going to start to see information about it because it's considered Kendall County's job fair. So this year what they're doing is they're doing three job fairs, 3 weeks in a row. They're going to run from 9 a.m. till 1 o'clock, and they're going to be kind of like mini job fairs. June 10th is going to be focused on manufacturing. June 17th is healthcare, and June 24th is IT. That way they can put like businesses together and draw the right people that are interested in those types of jobs. So that is going to be kind of what's going to happen this year for Kendall County having a job fair. So a little bit different, like little mini job fairs. And you know, figuring it would be better for both the businesses and the prospective employee candidates. So, and basically that's what I have.
There was one other on Bristol Bay. Do you have any updates on that? Or I know with Park Board.
Yes. So I think that right now it's more of a, actually we have a couple of people that could really help us out with that. The process has begun to...
Yep, we're going to be talking about it at the next city council meeting. Hopefully as a discussion point, it'll be on the park board agenda. The actual agenda item would only be the RFP document itself, yes. which establishes deadlines and timelines for the entire process. Mm-hmm. So we'll see after that.
Yep. Okay. But we're very encouraged.
Well, I knew you put time and effort into that,
yes,
too, so I wanted
yes,
to make sure.
Thank you very much, yes. And Justine is committed to seeing that site, you know, to, that's the site that we're looking at right now, so most definitely. So.
Just a question about how things are going. I know the city has information on the website for economic development. Uh-huh. Is that information that's provided there sufficient? Because when we had the YEDC, there were vital statistics for Yorkville available and ready at online.
And the city's information is just as it's.
I just
it's
want to
just
make sure.
As thorough.
Is that working out to make you know
it's
easy for you to point to?
Absolutely, because okay. we have a link from my website to the city's website to that exact spot, yeah. so I can have access directly to it. So
no, there's a lot there. I just want to
yes.
make sure that that's
yes, and it's worked out very well, and it's you know the updated information from last year is just ideal. So it's worked out very well.
We've been using the leakage analyses both from the comp plan and last year's Southside study
yes.
and the recruitment of the grocery store and a couple
okay.
other items.
Yes.
Good. Just want to make sure that those resources
yes.
are going to be used.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. I knew I also, for a while there, it was a great website because that was one of the ones that I had even been bookmarked. Mm-hmm. Then it seemed like toward the end there it started to not get updated as much.
Well, I didn't have enough time
to
do those
so
kind
was,
of things. So actually, everything is it's looking so much better now and everything is really updated and it's current.
That's
and so it's exactly what we need.
So. Okay, we'll move on to item number 5, PC 2016-06 Commercial Trade School Text Amendment.
Okay, so this is the first step in a process to amend the zoning code in coordination with new business number 7, which is the Grace Holistic Center for Education Special Use Request. The petitioners here had approached us about moving into an existing M1 space that had previously held our tattoo parlor in the downtown area. And after reviewing our zoning code and specifically what she wanted to do in the space, we decided that our zoning code probably was not as modernized as it should be. So the first step of the process is to actually amend the zoning code to allow a commercial and trade school definition to be amended to put this as a special use. And then the second step in the process is the actual special use request, and the petitioner can answer questions about her specific use, if you have any. But the first step in both processes is in front of economic development here, just to review the actual language for the text amendment, the special use, then it does go to public hearing, planning commission before it comes back to city council. So the actual language of the amendment is on that first page of the memo from Chris. It's chapter 2 in there, and it basically amends the current definition of a trade school to make it more broad. So it would now include commercial schools, industrial, clerical, managerial, artistic skills, or alternative education, which the special use request would fit within. And we think that's a better definition than what's currently in the code. And additionally, it allows us still the ability to review it via the special use process in the future. Chris?
I don't have a problem with the definition amendment. The only question I have about allowing the school as a special use in M2 is the intensity of the use of M2 and having a school. And I know it would come under a special use, but my thought is M1 is a light industry. I can see how that could be used since we have other offices and other types of uses, but I'm a little hesitant to say yes to a special use category in M1 for this, just due to the fact that it's a school. You know, the proposal we're going to have later is going to have elementary school by their definition. And that I would not be comfortable putting the allowance under a special use in the M2. That's my only concern. M1, I don't have an issue with, but M2, I'm not comfortable and allowing a special
use. Is that sites M2?
No, the site is M1.
Okay, so we're okay there.
Right. So this is this not talking about that petitioner. This is talking about...
In general.
M2, I think, is too heavy of a use. You know, if it's a trade school specifically for industrial under a special use, yes. But if it's, you know, the type of proposal that they're coming in through with tonight, if it were to go into M2, I'd say no, I wouldn't be supportive of that. But
I think that's what the special use process allows you, though. It allows you to take into context what the specific request is versus what the surrounding land uses are and the intensity of it. So, you know, something like a you know, commercial trade school for, like, you know, an auto shop or something.
Right. That would be appropriate in M2, I would think. Yeah. It's, you know, age restricted for students. If you're opening it up mm-hmm. to younger children, I wouldn't be good. But if it's, you know, an adult-oriented or a high school, college, yeah, that makes sense. But I think the special use raises those questions for an M2. M1, not as much. I'd almost be willing to allow a permitted use in M1 and then consider special use. So that's all I had.
So, like, how would, like a Union Hall type thing where, like, I don't think of, like, in the west side of Aurora out there. Is that an M2 area, you think, or?
I couldn't tell you. I'm not real sure.
Yeah.
I didn't know how that figured into it. Chris,
yeah, I don't know what the zoning is out there, so I couldn't tell you.
Because actually, in that building, they actually they teach how to drywall and all kinds of other things inside there. Right. I've been seeing that, so.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a different zoning classification for that type of like organization versus it being a trade school. That'd be something I have to ask Christy.
Yeah, all right. I just care. Mm-hmm. Anything else then, Chris?
No.
So this was just for...
Yeah, it's for your feedback and input, and it is going to Plan Commission next week for public hearing.
For the M1 one that's here tonight. Or is this going to be for the whole...
The text amendment is in front of Plan Commission, and the special use request for Grace Holistic Health or Center for Education is also on there, too.
So, okay. All right. Nothing else, then. I'll go to item number 6, PC 2016-07, Lot 19 Commercial Drive, proposed special use for a self-storage facility.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, this is there's another memo in the packet from Community Development. This special use request, thank you, had been in front of you earlier in the year, had been approved. During the design for the actual site, the petitioner realized that they would like to add a building and then reorient them. And because of the way that we had approved the ordinance, the site plan was actually appended to the actual authorization. And so we thought that we would need to actually go back through the process in order to make this type of change to it. So the lot coverage itself, which was one of the components of the three-step approval process through the city, is actually decreasing as a result of this by 1 percentage point. So that shouldn't be an issue if you had voted for it last time, but the reorientation and the addition of a building we thought was enough to trigger a reapproval of it.
Chris?
Has this been reviewed by engineering?
I believe so. It was part of the plan council
the
process.
Engineering was the basis for the reconfiguration from northwest orientation to east-west orientation.
From our engineering?
Both engineers looked at the site plan. Because when we were here before, there was the crops still on the lot, so we really couldn't do a full engineering review or topo of the site. So once the corn was removed, it was determined that the site would be best suited to have the east-west configurations of the building.
The other reason I'm asking is my concern is turn movements, fire protection. Has the fire district looked at this and signed off on the movements in here? It appears that some of these, I can't tell for sure, but I think most of the aisles are pretty much the same, but there are more turns in here in the southwest corner where there's that loop around. That kind of concerns me a little bit.
Part of the
I met with Mike Torrance.
Okay.
He went over and he wanted a few little changes.
Okay, so they've looked at it and they're good with it? Okay. I mean.
And the large vehicle storage was reconfigured and moved for easier access also.
I noticed that twisted a little bit there, so.
The other staff and I believe the adjoining neighbor to the north supported this configuration even more than the last configuration, because it will provide virtually 0% screening coverage to the neighbors with adding the On the west side?
We added a perimeter building on the west side, which will pretty much block any car lights that would shine up to the north.
And we do have the increased buffering and the landscaping to the north still.
You've actually moved that. The building on the west is further away from the property line now than what the pavement was before.
Right.
So there's
a little more
room for that screen.
Exactly.
No, I don't have an issue with it. I think it looks good as a very intense use, but for what the use is, it's good. Yes.
Now, the whole thing was a drainage issue. You know, we didn't have the crops out of the way. We hadn't done a topo, and then once we realized that the way the thing's draining, the civil engineers said, well, it'd be a better design, turn of the buildings, and at the same time, we even lost some square footage, which was fine because I think it's better as the way we've got it now.
Did this have the potential for expansion of parking stalls?
I think in the back there, you can add some.
Is that where it is? I know before it was right at the front entry.
Right.
Moving west, it would expand, but do we have expansion?
Moving back towards the, I guess, northeast.
Northeast. So up by the standalone building?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, as long as they're there, I guess, if they're needed in the future. Okay. That's it.
Dang. I'm good with it too, so this goes what to plan commission first? Pardon?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Same process as the last one, so it'll be back in front of City Council, I believe, by the end of the month.
Okay. Item 7, PC 2016-08319 East Van Ammon Road, proposal special use for commercial school.
Okay, and Terry had just left, so,
It's our son's birthday.
Okay.
She has a house full of people, so she apologized, but left these flyers for everyone.
Yeah, so if anybody had any questions about the specific special use request, I think the only thing that got brought up post-packet creation was that there's going to be 7 striped spaces in there. There's 6 staff members in the building. You typically don't take into account number of students. It's just per classroom under our zoning code. But there is additional space on site that, parking buffers could be maintained on a temporary basis.
Regarding parking. So there are 4 spaces. They're along the west part of the parking lot.
Yes.
South of the building.
Mm-hmm.
For them to add additional spaces, are they going to be impeding the flow coming in and out of the truck docks or parallel parking on the right side? Do we know what their plan is for on-site additional parking spaces?
I don't specifically. I do know that they're aware of our request to mandate an additional 4 spots and then also provide for adequate traffic flow going in and out of the building. And both Christy, Chris, and then the petitioners had said that they didn't see that being a problem, given the amount of space that they had there.
On that, is the part of the building we're talking about is the front section, with the exception of the small bump out on the very south end. There's a little appendage on the south end, but it's the frontmost part of the building.
Mm-hmm.
The rear part of the building, is that still being used and occupied for industrial uses?
It is, yes.
They have trucks coming in and out?
Not frequently. It is more of a storage facility, what I can gather, just from talking to the business owner.
Okay.
I'm trying to pull it up now.
Is that the whole building the same owner, or is,
yes,
is that the business owner? Or
they all own it, but they're going to sublet.
Correct.
This piece. My concern with that is incompatible uses. You have a school, you have students coming in and out. If you have small school buses or parents picking up, if you have semis coming in and out, or even industrial traffic, there's a issue there that I see. I'm just looking at the aerial right now, and there is a semi-trailer loaded in there.
Sure.
That seems to be a conflict. And I know there are ways we can work this out with scheduling or whatnot, but those kind of restrictions, I want to see those discussed and make sure that they are dealt with beforehand.
Yeah, I know that she's reviewed the use of the rear building,
mm-hmm.
and as the petitioner has currently proposed it, with needing an additional four, and then also maintaining the pickup and drop-off flow of traffic, mm-hmm. and Christy didn't have an issue with it at the time. So I'm unaware of what the specifics were regarding their actual use, but I do know that she's talked about it.
Yeah, so that information, if that can be brought yep. forward.
I can tell you that trailer that's there in that picture has been there for about 6.5 years. It's actually, that's been...
So like
there.
Permanent storage?
I spoke to the gentleman that owns it. He said, oh, they don't have a storage thing. It's just there. They used to use it as storage, and they built a new building
in
the 70s.
And if that's the case, if it's right. still there, that's even more complicating for the traffic circulation. So, just have them look at that, and then if they can provide comments on that one.
Okay. Yeah, we'll put it in the memo.
Okay. I have more, but if you want to keep going on the rest, the other parts. Sure, we'll hit them. Do you have more that you're going to go through on this one, or are you?
No.
Okay. yours is just 30,000 feet then, huh?
Yes.
Okay. As I was reading through the business plan, I noticed they had mentioned that there were going to be some activities outside. With that, the place for that was mentioned on the side of the building. My concern there is putting students outdoors if they're elementary students. Do we want to consider a requirement for an enclosure, fencing or some sort for protection, security? As Van Emmon, as we know, even though a low speed right through there, it's traveled very heavily. So I want to make sure that since this is a school use, we're taking that into consideration. How much are they going to use it? If it is something they want to use, we have certain securities there to make sure we're protecting students. Those are some of the items that I just had right off the top about this one. Overall, I think it's not a bad use. Interesting putting this one down there. The one thing I want to note from the staff memo, though, mentions that both comprehensive plan, current and proposed, say that this is the designation here is compatible with the neighborhood being in the comprehensive plan as a traditional neighborhood in both comp plans. If this was a residential coming in with a special use, I'd say that's correct, but the underlying use of the M1 I don't think is truly compatible with the comprehensive plan designations. I think that's just something with the staff recommendation or the staff comment. I'm not sure that I agree that it is compatible with the comprehensive plan. I'm not saying that this use is not appropriate here, but just the underlying with that comment. Kind of it for what I had right now.
Well, I'll have Christine just type up discussions and responses for each one of those points.
The only other thing that I thought about, I'm okay with this being here. I did talk about maybe they at times use the park, right? So I'm looking at it. They're almost going to have a plan that if they're going to use the park, they're going to come down Van Emmon and across that mill, right? Because you wouldn't want them trying to come around the back or the side and cross over those tracks at that point, would you? I'm just saying, so that they plan if they're going to use the park for something like we talked about, they might want to make sure they have a plan how they're going to get from the building to there.
Okay. There's no direct connection from their property to the park.
Right.
Other parcels in place.
Well, I wouldn't...
Would they be...
I'm worried that they might...
...to get them there, or what? What's the plan? It's a good point.
Because what I'm looking at, they might try to go through this parking lot on the building to the west, across the tracks there, and I don't know if that's probably not a spot that you want kids crossing. You probably want them to go down the middle and cross, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's a stormwater back in the north end of the building between that and the tracks, too.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, and I know that's kind of a swampy area.
Well, the parcel to the east, I've actually met with that owner a while back. That's the part that gets real wet over there. And the city has some, we had something in there, too, that comes across here somewhere, I think. So, yeah, it's a wet area. That's the only thing I thought of when I was looking at it, that I hope that they would take their traffic, go down the mill with it, across there. the kids are walking.
Something to check into in term. I know we talk about signage for the site, school signage. The school signs that we have, would that be something that would be considered to be put up on Van Emmon? How would that
like
work?
The,
since this is a private school.
Like the traffic signs? Like
yeah,
the
traffic signs.
Crossings?
The school, not even crossing, but just the school. It you know shows that they're at the school.
That'd be something I'd have to ask Brad. I'm not sure.
My thought is, the way you read the business proposal, there are some students that could come here from the districts under the co-op, or not, I'm sorry, not the co-op, but the special education program to be determined. If they're coming in, would they be shuttled in through buses, or would it just be parent pickup? You know, then you have bus circulation issues as well. So, just signage issues to think of off-site for us here.
That would also tend to slow things down a little bit. Too, if there was a sign,
yeah,
school sign. Nothing else, then, Chris?
No, I'm sure things will come up as this goes along, and I hear more through the Plan Commission presentation.
Okay, we'll move on to the last item, number 8, EDC 2016-20, Autumn Creek proposed amended annexation agreement for fee/ordinance lock.
Okay, so we've got members of Pulte here that can answer questions if we have specific questions about either their proposal or what they're doing in the subdivision. In general, this is kind of a reaffirmation of an agreement that we'd approved a few years ago during, it was probably the middle of our recession. Actual recession had been over, I think, at that point. But they'd come forward to the city council looking for fee locks, ordinance locks, and other items to be extended, along with some innovative security provisions at the time. So it was something that we'd approved for a five-year period. It has since expired. They're looking to build out the remaining 50 or so houses in the subdivision and want a lot of those provisions reaffirmed. So the ordinance in front of you, again, is going to go to City Council here at a future date. And it does deal with fees lock, building code locks. So the original building code that was in place in 2006 when we had originally approved it, we're proposing to extend. And then there are some discussions related to the appearance code. So when we originally approved the subdivision in 2006, there was one set of appearance codes. We've since upgraded that since then. They only really have three townhouse buildings that are going to be applicable to this new appearance code that they're asking for some waiver of the new code from. And if we would approve their waiver, then the townhouses would be built and look exactly like the ones that are already built, so there wouldn't be necessarily any degradation of aesthetics on it. But if we were to say no and not approve their request, then two out of the three remaining buildings, so this is only 15 dwelling units we're talking about, would have some additional brick or masonry products on the front of it. So they felt that that would look a little bit out of place to have two out of 30 townhome buildings with an upgraded aesthetic. And then additionally, too, they think they would price themselves out of the market. So that is one of the components of this. Everything else is in the memo. If you have any questions, happy to answer them.
This lock's been in place since 2005?
Yeah, 2005, 2006.
Right. So since then, everything's been fixed at the two rates that we have based on the chart that's shown.
Yep.
We had a recapture that expired in 2009. That was benefiting the developer.
Yes.
Now that's been expired. Mm-hmm. So they, at that point, they have been at the full lock fee.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, all we're just being asked to continue the lock as it is.
Correct.
And with that, allow for a couple architectural considerations.
Sure.
Which I completely understand with the three townhomes, deviating and creating a higher standard on those doesn't make any sense at all. If it was 50% of the development, that'd be one thing. This is three buildings out of 30-some. So I have no issue with that. I think that's actually smart. I know we're being asked for a five-year extension. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, we're in the grace period of the term.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually 6 years
yes.
out. Well, 3 weeks shy of 6 years.
Yes.
So technically we're beyond the term. 5 years, they've gotten six. I'm comfortable with a shorter term. I know sales have been rather well in this development. There are 52 single-family lots to go. The townhomes, I'm not sure what the schedule or plan is for that one, if any.
We can talk about the townhomes.
If we could.
Sure. The last time we built the townhome was 5 years ago. And we were just looking in preparation of the meeting today just to kind of reaffirm what we think we know about the townhome market, especially at Autumn Creek. So 5 years ago, we were offering townhome in the 130 to 150 range. And we were just checking resale out in the community. And we had resales everywhere from 94 up to 150,000, including a handful of REO still out there that were in approximately 130 or thereabouts. So we really haven't seen much what I'd call sustained price appreciation yet there. So we don't really have a plan yet to kind of revisit starting those homes. Just to give you some idea, our base house costs average $109,000 in house costs alone at that period in time. Those are 5 years ago, and I can tell you we've experienced average house cost increases of anywhere from 5 to 7% a year for the last 3 years. So our house costs would go from roughly 110, and you can add somewhere in the neighborhood of probably $15,000 to $20,000 on top of that. So our house cost is probably 129, maybe. So we still don't have enough of an opportunity to create any real operating margin. So we're not planning on actually starting any townhomes anytime soon.
Okay. Good. And your market on the single family, I know those have still been progressing. Phase 4, or Unit 4, sorry, it is Phase 4, has moved relatively well. That's where the bulk of the homes are still to be built.
Yeah, so 2015, we sold and built 29 homes. 2016, so far we have 14 sales. So that gives you some idea of kind of pace. Price has not been dramatically improved. With Cambridge kind of opening up, we're kind of hopeful that they'll have a positive impact on the market to some extent. We just don't know yet how much. And then I can just share with you from an operating margin perspective, you know, we still carry the SSA in our community. I believe it's been paid off for Grand Reserve, at least that portion of the lots that Cambridge is working on, so that's a bit of a benefit to them. And from an operating margin perspective, we're still in the single digits, which is less than half, or right now we're at 3.9% on gross margin, which is barely covering overheads. So we're hopeful that the market will continue to improve, but we are looking to build out the community and not have any impediments to doing that. Unfortunately, the market is low and slow for us right now. So.
I appreciate that. One of my thoughts on this was a shorter term on the agreement versus the 5 years plus a grace period, because this obviously brought us out to 6 years. I would like to have reviewed this prior, but I know that we had the grace in here for this purpose. Well, my thought was a 3 or 4 year term, knowing the pace that this has been building out at. I know the townhomes are still something that are going to be a consideration, whether that gets done or not. Who knows if they even get built, ultimately. I know there's not been a high demand in New York, though. But my thought is a shorter term on the agreement. And then the other is a little... I would personally like to see a little upward motion on the fees. I'm not saying bring them up to current standards, to the $18,000 or $17,000, but whether it's a 20% increase on them, something of the sort. And This one has been locked for a very long time, which I know it's been necessary. But I do see the movement on this development. This development's actually sustained Yorkville pretty well with our housing numbers. So it's been appreciated. My thought is I would like to see a little movement possibly on the fees. That's
so there was an increase in the fees as well when the recapture expired. So the water main went from $1,330 to $2,660. And then I'm sorry, probably got them all reversed. Sanitary and the water main one went, what, $1,330 to $2,660. And then the water main, we were receiving the $2,000 recapture on it. So we have appreciated the $3,330 already in those fees, which is a detriment, obviously, to our single-digit margins. So we did did that a couple months ago. So all those fees did just increase as well.
Yeah, there's a reference in the packet about them potentially prepaying some fees. So they're actually talking about making sure that their fee margins are low enough that they can still participate in build, or high enough that they can still participate in the build program to the fullest extent, but low enough that whoever the actual builder is still has a good margin compared for their building permit. So I don't know that they're going to agree to an increase.
What would you be looking at in terms of the prepayment?
We've thrown out offers in the range of a couple $100,000, and the concept right now is that we can guess how many years it's going to take them to build out, under different scenarios, to take the present value of that money and say, here's what it is. We've talked about it on our end too, that I think this is the only developer in the past decade that's really expressed some interest in prepayment, and to me, you just take the money and run now. So some sort of discount on top of prepayment, present value isn't out of the question either. So I'd rather get the money now and put it in the funds than.
I mean, if it's, are we talking a year's worth of prepayments, or are we talking what kind of
$200,000, $250,000? So it'd be
it's beyond a couple of years of potential bill-outs.
It'd be like a waiver of the water connection fees and the sewer connection fees in general.
I mean, that helps, because obviously, in a cash-strapped budget, that helps up front. So, if that's a solid consideration to do some up front, that would be helpful to us.
Right.
More so than any increase, because that may potentially be detrimental to the sales. I don't want to see that happening. I would like to see this development fully built out within the next several years, aside from townhomes. But, yeah, absolutely. If prepayment is on the table, I think that is good. That's good movement. I mean, that helps us definitely. So I'm okay with that. I still will throw that out there. Any thoughts on the shorter term? 5 years?
So I don't have a problem with the 5-year term at all.
I really didn't either, but you're just talking that 1 year.
Well, 3 or 4 years, that's my thought. Because right, with a grace period, it goes 6 years.
It sounds like if things continue, they'll be
done
by the 5th year, but right. We won't even get that point, right? Unless something, the economy collapses or something like that, but at the current.
I look at it as how often do we get to look at one of these? If we enter a 10-year agreement, 5-year agreement, we don't approach this for another 5 years. This has been 6 years with that grace period. That's how I like to look at things, is what's going to happen, how long do we have to look at it and reassess our options and how things are going.
So just to give you some numbers as well, we have, in the single families, we have 38 homes left to sell in single families. Of those 10 are permitted, 19 of them are sold. So we really only have, in the single families, we don't have that many left. The 5-year extension that we were looking for is more for the townhomes.
And
they're actually platted as condominiums. So the FHA rule that we have with the 15% delinquency rate in the townhomes is our issue as well as building them. So the townhomes literally, in the last month and a half, finally went to 14.97%. in a delinquency rate, and so we have to show some consistent below 15%, or we can't close any of them FHA. Okay. And obviously, that's the biggest problem, as well as the building costs. Mm-hmm. So that's why we were looking for the 5 years, because we have to
if we're not going to be able to close them, FHA, no investor is going to come in and buy them for that price. So that's our problem with the townhomes. So just wanted to throw that out there because they're platted.
I appreciate that. But you think that within with the way that the trend is going, I'm not going to hold you to it, but you think within 2 years the single family are sold out?
The way
possibly even this year.
Yeah, the way the trend is going, you know, it all depends on the other builders that Peter just mentioned, but
you think
that's our goal.
2 years. Okay. I mean, if it's a holdout on the townhomes, I mean, I understand, because I know the townhome market. I know that it's not been favorable to many, so I understand. And I know it's only three buildings, but it is three buildings, and they're hard to build. So otherwise, you guys would have replatted them into single family 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Diane too. I think that this,
if it's more catered towards, if you guys are comfortable with getting this done, if you already have that many permits and sales, that drops that number substantially. I don't think it'll be a problem.
Yeah, so we'll be 15 to you. Yeah.
If we look at history, it's between them and those are the ones still mouths the song.
Exactly. Why would we want to?
Yeah, let's just let them finish it.
Exactly, just let them finish it. If it takes a 5-year term, I don't think. I mean, we've had it for 5 years. We've had it for 6 years. We stayed here the whole time, built houses, and kept it going.
Really, the only major development that
I
lasted.
Know. Exactly. I think we should.
I'm not looking to hamstring anybody. I'm just looking to make sure that what we're doing is in the interest of the city, to make sure we're looking out for our own interests, which I hate to say that so bluntly, but that's what we're here to do.
No, but the amount of houses that are left, it's not going to
I was thinking 52 is different than 30. 38 minus. Yeah. So that's a big difference. Once you take out all the sales you've already made. So
absolutely.
Thank you for the additional information.
Not a problem.
I think by building it out, there's some civic benefit too.
For sure. Absolutely.
Not just finishing the community, but the jobs for the homes that are being built, because everybody's getting paid. Pulte pays everybody every 2 weeks. We haven't walked away from any of our commitments. So, you know, there is some civic benefit there just to kind of see this get done.
And the sooner you get that done, the sooner you can consider other parcels in the city.
I was going to say, or that, or maybe they'll prompt somebody else to take that approach.
We have another big property in town, as you know. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bristol Bay.
Right? Yep.
Bristol Bay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. No old business? Right. Any additional business?
Thank you very much.
Is that Diane?
No.
Okay. Meeting adjourned. 6:49.
Thank you.